This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Wave Soda, which is great. It's simple. Bubbly water, splash of real juice, a little caffeine. Unsweetened, no stevia or artificial sweeteners at all. Very clean finish, 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Order it right now, wavesoda.com. You can get 15% off with either of our names as your promo code, Grant or Danny. 15% off. Grant or Danny at checkout. Let's go to number one in our 5 at 5. We start off on the hardwood. Tonight could be the night. Russell Westbrook looking to make history. If he gets a triple-double tonight, he'll have done that more in his career than anybody in the history of the association. We talked to Jason Smith, former Wizard, NBC Sports Washington now, about Westbrook's durability, and he compared him to John Wall.
He not only makes himself better, but he makes everybody on the team better. And when you say John Wall, yes, John was a great player. I had a great time playing with John Wall. But the fact is that John wasn't on the floor towards those later ends of his career. And in Houston, he's not on the floor right now. What do you get out of Russell Westbrook? He is on the floor. He's giving it his all, regardless of how his body feels. It's almost like he's the Energizer Bunny out there. He's not getting tired. He's playing 30-plus minutes. He's getting triple-doubles. And yet, it's just mind-boggling that you want to say, oh, man, he's missing too many shots, or he's turning the ball. Well, he has the ball in his hand pretty much 90% of the time. He's the point guard. He's commanding everybody's effort and energy out there to be at the same of him, if not better. And that's exactly what you want from your leader out there.
He's going to pass the big O, man. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow night, or Wednesday night, whatever it is, just amazing. I cannot believe the proficiency, averaging career high in rebounds, career high in assists, the scoring. You know, it comes and goes. He had a night the other night where he was in his 30s and whatever. That's a backseat to making sure that everyone else gets involved. He's the best rebounding guard in the history of this game, and he's not the biggest. He's not a 6'8 point guard. He's not Anthony Hardaway. It's 6'6", 6'7". He's not Magic Johnson. He's one of the smallest guys on the court, no matter what. It's desire, it's effort, it's intellect, it's stick-to-itiveness. It is incredible what he's doing on a nightly basis, man.
There was a moment on Saturday night that was, like, of all the Russell Westbrook moments this season, maybe the one I would kind of cut a video of to send around. There was a missed shot by the Wizards, and two Pacers are trying to kind of fight for the rebound. Bigs. And he goes into the trenches with those two guys and kind of taps himself the rebound toward the bench, chases it down for a hustle rebound, and then scores immediately. It was crazy. But that was Russell Westbrook to me. That's what he's done all season long for this team. I said this off the top today. They've won 13 of 16, and of those three losses, two were by a point, one was in overtime by 3 points, and all three were the second of a back-to-back. They're good right now, and they got it cut out for them at this point because no Bradley Beal, who scored 50 against the Pacers, who's the top scorer in the NBA with Steph Curry, and now you got to deal with a playoff team in the Hawks back-to-back games tonight and Wednesday. So they'll need Westbrook to break the record tonight and then some. Number two, 5 at 5, Capitals injury concerns ahead of the playoffs. Peter Laviolette, head coach at the mic talking about trying to get chemistry with the players they do have on ice going into the postseason?
I mean, I think we got a pretty good feel for what we like. And so I'm not real concerned about having to get a line together or a D pair together for the last game. I think that we've seen enough to know what we think works and what's good, and your eyeball and the numbers and the games and the results and the way things are played. I would rather not have guys banged up. I don't think anybody would. You'd rather say, yeah, we're 100% healthy. We've got to sit healthy players out of the lineup next game. And so, you know, that I wouldn't like to have it that way. I'd rather have it the other way, where I had to make a tough decision and we were healthy going in, you know. So obviously, just based on what you saw last lineup and last few lineups, that we've got some bumps and bruises going on. I'm hopeful you know, we're turning the corner and going in the right direction.
I don't care about what happens against the Bruins tomorrow night. I care about the health of some of their key players, guys like TJ Oshie and company. Looks like Alex Ovechkin and John Carlson were back with no restrictions at their skating practice this morning. That is good. I just need guys healthy. I don't care about what happens. I don't care if they play the Bruins or the Islanders in the postseason first round. That's what's at stake, basically, with tomorrow night's game. I care about the health of those guys. If they're going to do anything, they need them.
Well, it could be already determined, which might even help Peter Laviolette a little bit. So the Bruins and the Islanders play tonight. The Bruins are 1 point up on the Islanders in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Bruins beat the Islanders tonight, then it's done. Then they're the 3 seed, and the Islanders are the 4 seed, and the Bruins play the Capitals if Boston wins tonight.
Uh-huh.
The way that the Caps would still have some say is if the Islanders win tonight, they'd be 1 point up on Boston. They're done playing. This is their last game. The Bruins in their final game could then leapfrog the Islanders with a win over Washington, essentially.
Got it.
So there's a possibility that by the end of tonight, the Bruins beat the Islanders, everything's determined, the game doesn't matter at all. And maybe you don't want to play a bunch of guys anyway, because if you know you're playing the Bruins, let's say,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're not going to show them some of your A stuff. And we talked to Carly about that. He kind of, you know, poo-pooed it and said hockey's a little bit different, but you know, if there's a breakout or something that you like against them, maybe you're not going to go to it or try to ramp it up to the same extent. Like you, though, I want a long playoff run. The only way that's possible is if Ovi's close to 100%, Backstrom, Carlson, Oshie, all mm-hmm. those guys. This does not feel good going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I just know that even if those guys are playing, there's a difference between, well, he can play and he can be himself for a month. Because you know this.
Yes.
The hockey playoffs go on forever.
It's a grind.
And it's relentless, and it's physically grueling and demanding. So if you're going in at 75 or 80%, it's just hard to
fathom. Hard to get healthier.
Oh, exactly. You're playing every other day for weeks. So that's where I'm nervous. But fingers crossed, you know, we get to see those guys, and they look better maybe than we're expecting next time they're on the ice. Number 3, 5-5, the Nationals in New York this weekend. Got a huge win on Friday night, then dropped matinees on Saturday and Sunday with their bullpen really scuffling. And it was Brad Hand, terrific closer, in the center of their problems, who's trying to leave the weekend behind him after he couldn't throw strikes, blew a save, and took a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I felt pretty good. Warming up in the bullpen, everything was sharp. You know, just the two walks again. I feel like these past 2 days, I've really just kind of beat myself. You know, giving up the free base runners there to begin the inning. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one the way the team fought back. You know, late in the game, but you know, just can't keep falling behind hitters like that.
And to this point, their bullpen has been really good. I'd say surprisingly good, even with some of the injuries,
one
even
the
with Will
baseball.
Harris not available, even with Tanner Rainey's struggles and an ERA of an even 10 coming into the weekend. They'd been really, really reliable, really good. And so it's one of those things where you go, well, baseball happened. Just the margins are so razor thin right now for this club. As Juan Soto's coming back, getting to the swing of things, he hit a bomb the other night in their blowout win. That's good. Those guys, him and Trey Turner, you know what they're going to do. This is about everybody else. It's about Castro. It's about Schwarber. It's about Bell. And maybe a little length at the back of the lineup would be nice once or twice a week. But for the most part, you need everything to go perfectly right now. Their starting pitching has been better than I thought it was going to be honest with you. And yet they find themselves several games under .500.
Yeah, I feel better about Brad Hand long-term this year than I do the Nats themselves. I mean, I'm not concerned that he is not going to be able to save games for you. He's really good. I am more concerned about their offense and Bell and Schwarber and just being more consistent at scoring runs. And to your point, their rotation has been pretty stellar. Eric Fetty's been solid. Joe Ross has been solid. Max Scherzer's been incredible. And that's without John Lester until the last two trips through the rotation, without Steven Strasburg since the first two trips. Corbin getting off to a terrible beginning to his season. He's thrown much better now in three of his last four. Speaking of four, number four, 5-5, Washington football team checks in. They are meeting with left tackle Charles Leno, who started the last 6 years with the Bears. Rick Snyder of TheFanDC.com gave his thoughts on the visit.
Well, you, due diligence is a big thing right now. You look at these guys, because even if you don't sign them, in case you got to call somebody on a Sunday night after an injury, you know who you're talking to. You know, that's why you vet out all these guys. So it's not so much I'm expecting them to be a factor now, but they're just hedging bets. That's why they talk to a million draft picks, because you just want to know when you have to call somebody in emergency, you're not guessing about the guy.
They're building depth right now. They're building some pretty good offensive line depth. At times, we've had the highs, guys like Trent Williams, and then it's who the hell is going to play left guard? Who the hell is going to fill in at center? They're starting to have a pretty deep, versatile unit here, which I think is really good. Maybe there's an heir apparent on the roster to Brandon Scherff that could be grooming. Brandon Scherff that could be grooming.
I wish his name was Brandon Scherff.
Brandon Scherff. It's a combination of Brandon Belt.
His name was Brandon Scherffish.
Yeah. What the hell was that? Brandon Scherff. Maybe there's an heir apparent there. We've heard rumbles of Sadiq Charles moving at guard. Who knows? But they're building something here that's pretty good. Ron Rivera and company are able to convince guys to come be part of a rotation, which is pretty special.
You remember when they gave us those awards for working here that one time, and then you went home and you put it on your brand?
On my branded shelf.
Number five. I'm losing my voice today.
Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
Throat not doing great. It's not sore. Maybe it's a sinus situation.
It's a weakness. Yeah, it's allergies, dude.
I got a weak throat today, man. I'm just getting through it.
You see, I got my tea right here.
I don't have my... Bigelow tea.
Bigelow tea.
I don't have my best stuff. I'm just trying to locate my fastball. Trying to make this whole thing work. Throwing a bunch of junk in the dirt and hoping people
going Eddie Harris on him
over the top of it.
You put snot on the ball?
I got Vaseline. I'm working on the stitches. Tim Tebow is back.
Tebow.
And he wants to play tight end.
Dude, my understanding is that Tim Tebow is expected to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his former college coach, Urban Meyer, this according to me and my colleague, Tom Pelissero, right there. Nothing is done yet, but this is expected to be official in the next week or so. So Tim Tebow, who actually has had a couple different workouts with the Jacksonville Jaguars, just some opportunities to show Urban Meyer and the rest of the Jaguars staff that he can make the transition from quarterback to tight end, his new position, certainly something where he has allowed the staff to be comfortable with him, the kind of player he could be, the work ethic obviously he has, and you know, has such a close relationship with Urban Meyer, Tom. This makes a lot of sense. It's expected to be a one-year deal where Tebow will have the chance to make the team, to make an impression, and we will see where this goes for here.
That was Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. Again, I used to be so irritated, mostly because of the Tebow apologists and the overcoverage on a guy that wasn't particularly good as an NFL football player. Everybody was relentless in their Tebow this, Tebow that, you know, the Skip Baylesses of the world and everyone else. I found that annoying, and that was where my disdain for Tebow came from, right? The guy never did anything wrong to me personally, or, you know, just generally seems like a pretty good dude. But the overcoverage always bothered me. Then when he went away and people stopped, you know, clamoring for it in football, I've been nothing but impressed with that guy who has stuck his nose in and tried to do things and been wildly successful doing them, because he's just an incredible, relentless athlete, and it's beyond impressive.
I hope it works for him. He's got friends and places of power. Like
that's
Urban
right,
Meyer says, yeah, come on out, try to be a tight end. I think he definitely could have done it 9 years ago. It's going to be a lot harder now, but I hope he catches some passes and there's a happy ending here. He'll have a job in TV when he wants it. That is your 5-5 on Grant and Danny. People waiting to talk NFL schedule release, so let's crowbar in a few of these before we move on. Charles is in Greenbelt. Charles, what do you want to see when the schedule comes out on Wednesday night?
See them kick the Cowboys' ass.
So you want to know when
the Cowboys games
are? Dallas.
Yeah.
Yes, because me and my family, we look at the schedule, and then we figure out when we're going to grill, and then when we're going to have just go crazy. And I also want to tell you guys, this is my first time calling. that rant y'all had the other day about the motorcycles almost made me have an accident.
Thank you, dude.
I don't even remember what we were saying, but I remember we were joking on motorcycles.
No, that we were not manly enough to ride motorcycles.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that like there's a toughness thing that we don't have.
Are you a motorcycle guy, Charles?
He is right. Huh?
Are you a motorcycle guy?
Oh, no. No, I value my life.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Charles.
He liked the idea of us saying, like, you know, you go, and I've always wondered this. You and your buddy are going to a movie or to a baseball game, and you're like, I'll pick you up. And then you show up in a motorcycle. And he's just He's wrapping his arms around you, tucking his hands into your front pocket.
Put both hands right on my belly button. That's your center point, and let's go.
Clasping fingers right over your navel.
Is that a roll of quarters back there? Nope, let's go.
You just go to the bank? You told him to give you the quarters? All right. Let's go to James in Fredericksburg. What's up, James?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
great
up,
show.
Pal? Thanks, you, dude.
Buddy.
This is a no-brainer, baby. This is Vegas all the way. I want you to predict. I want you to picture this. Game November, December, flying out there, 85-degree weather, laying out at the Hard Rock Pool. Go hit an all-you-can-eat buffet, play some blackjack. Come Sunday, play the Los Angeles Raiders and watch the Washington football team, NFC champs, kick some Raider butt. That's a no-brainer, baby.
It sounds perfect, by the way.
It sounds like the best weekend of my life. I mean, that sounds really amazing. This is why it's so dumb that more sports haven't been in Vegas before now. They finally got the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm all in on everything they do. You didn't love all the over-the-top shtick before the games and the cup.
I was all set on it.
I thought it was great.
The theatrical performance that lasted 45 minutes.
So funny to me. It's also like the decibels in that arena. It's the loudest place you've ever been.
It is loud,
man. It's the best speakers I've ever heard in any building in my life. Just done beautifully.
You could hear Imagine Dragons great.
But people should go to Vegas every weekend for games. Like, that's awesome.
100%, man.
Aiden is in Alexandria. What's up, Aiden?
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny?
Hey,
as a high school senior living in Outdoor who's lived here my whole life, I have two big wishes. Lots of home games when I'm back from school. And then I'm going to University of South Carolina. So hoping I have doable dates with when we play down in Carolina and Atlanta.
Ooh,
nice, dude.
So you're graduating this year?
Yeah, graduate June 3rd.
What school? What high school?
I go to West Potomac.
Oh, not Panthers.
Right on, bro.
Panthers, right?
Wolverines. Panthers is our middle school.
Damn.
The middle? You can play to the middle school?
So, no. I didn't know that much. Is it the Potomac Panthers? What am I botching?
Yeah, there's a Potomac Panthers.
Is that a thing?
No. So our high school is the West Potomac Wolverines. Our middle school is Carl Sandburg Panthers.
Yeah, I'm not that
like
smart.
Our area.
You're giving me a lot of credit. I think the Potomac Panthers are a thing. See, Danny knows this about me. I love asking people what high school they went to so that I can drop their mascot on them. But when it backfires, it's really
screeching halt.
I feel
we get to correct you.
Yeah, no. I wanted you to correct me. You did the right thing. This is no way a shot at you. So, one more question, because I'm worried. Like, these high school seniors, the last 2 years, it has to be brutal. So have you been doing, like, online learning? Did you get to have a prom? Like, what was your high school experience like?
Yeah, of course. It's been pretty normal somewhat normal, like, the last couple months, but I stuck online just because it's a little easier. But we're doing our, like, prom more as, like, a friend group thing Saturday the 22nd, right before we get out for the year.
And is that just your buddies, or is that, like, school sanctioned, like, the whole grade's doing it?
So kind of half and half. We're, like, planning some stuff together, but then our school is doing, like, something in the – I think it's in the parking lot or something, but that's only for an hour, so we're doing stuff before and after as well.
Oh, that's a dagger. That's a tough break. Well, congrats, man. That's very, very cool.
You're very cool, buddy.
You know, you're making –
thank you, guys.
Chicken salad, some lemonade out of lemons or whatever, but appreciate you, man.
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks, dude.
That probably went too long for people listening, but – I feel so bad for high school seniors and juniors.
Yeah.
The last 2 years.
Seniors.
It rips my... weirdly so. I don't know people in that grade. I don't have kids that are that age.
I know.
I can't explain it. I feel so... When I think about it, like, I drive past a sign in my neighborhood that says, like, whatever high school the kid went to. And it's, you know, it's not even the one that I think kids go to in my neighborhood, which is weird. But it's, like, the high school that they go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, like, class of 20... I'm telling you, Danny, it rips my heart out. He's doing a thing in a parking lot for an hour?
Yeah.
Remember how fun prom was?
Of course. Of course. And it's not only high school kids, but college kids.
Go have fun with your friends, young man.
Yeah, high school kids and college kids. Like, eligibility-wise, just a year ripped away. I know there are bigger fish to fry in the world. We've talked about this a million times. And I've gotten to know some of these high school kids here locally, as I've done some coaching kind of on the side, just getting to know some of these guys, the adversity they've gone through just to get back on the field. Whatever we have to do, we'll do. Like, that's been the attitude, right?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
They shouldn't have to deal with that. They're just kids. It's hard enough to be in high school. Remember how hard calculus was in high school? They got to do that and go through all this crap, a million tests a week, just so they can field some ground balls or, like, shoot a ball at the goal for lacrosse. It's insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah. Man. Well, have fun doing the activities that you got planned with your buddies. And I'm still upset that I botched the school. You know that's my skill.
That's your thing.
That's my partner.
That's your
trick.
Thing. Yeah.
You name a school in this area. In fact, let's do this. Call in right now, 800-636-1067.
Challenge Paulson.
Only if you're in Northern Virginia. That's the caveat.
Okay, that's fine.
If you went to a Northern Virginia high school, you name your school, I will name your mascot. How about that?
So I'll come up with a small list of ones that I'm familiar with, just to prove that this is a thing that you can do.
And Potomac Panthers are the Potomac High School in Dumfries, by the way.
There's also the Potomac Panthers in McLean, the private school.
I don't do private schools.
I'm just telling you that. I'm just giving you information.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't do those.
I needed a police escort to get out of the Potomac in Dumfries, by the way. Did you know that about me?
I didn't.
It's a good story.
I want to hear it. You can tell it next. Public high schools in the Fairfax, larger Northern Virginia area. That's kind of my party trick. If you guys want to do that. If not, that's perfectly reasonable. You shouldn't want to do that. In fact, don't call. It'd be better.
This is fun.
If you didn't do that. Next, the Washington football team is hosting a tackle. And an actual important thing that I do want to discuss with you, Danny. There will be more fans in the stands at Capital One Arena and at Nats Park. That is happening starting next week. That's next on GMB. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Did you watch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
I did not, actually.
Elon Musk. I didn't, because it's Saturday Night Live and I haven't watched it in 20 years. But everyone's got a take. People are upset that Elon Musk was doing it. I don't know. I watched his opening monologue. It was pretty funny. It's fine. But it's all over the place. I can't get on the internet without seeing something about it. I would say it worked for Saturday Night Live, though.
If that was the point.
I haven't seen people talk about Saturday Night Live that much in years. All right, end of this segment, we're going to get into more of you being allowed to Capital One Arena to watch the Caps and the Wizards when the playoffs start. How many? Danny's going to tell you. Also, there's an update on Nationals Park as well. We'll make this very short and sweet, but I do want to try to flex my muscles here. I need to try to sharpen the sword a little
bit. That's right, you got to do it.
If I'm going to be using this as my party trick out and about at cookouts this summer, then I need to make sure I still got it. I got to make sure Stella's got her groove back here.
So rapid fire, I'll do a couple just to prove to everybody this is a thing. This is no Googling. This is just me looking at you in the eyes.
Right.
Quick as you can. Ready? McLean.
Highlanders.
Langley.
Saxton's.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
All right.
See what I'm saying?
That's a thing. So we got people on the phones. 800-636-1067. Why this is a thing? If I lived around here growing up, I should know all these. I'm not from here. I came up here and called high school football for a couple of years, and I lean on that for what we're doing. So if I called some high school football games, I should know the mascot. But then some of these I didn't have any experience with. So my trick is I want to know, and this is a bit I've been doing for years.
Yeah.
Danny knows this. When I meet someone, even an adult, I go, oh, yeah? Like, where you at? And they're like, oh, over here. And I'm like, what high school? And they're like, over by, fill in the blank. And I'm like, oh, you mean the Eagles. Like, it's so much of that, and then there's just an instant, oh, this guy's local.
How did he know?
It's kind of my move. Let's go to Andy in Clifton. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Doing great. Don't start me off with one that's
too
hard.
You guys, I'll try not to be. You guys really hit the nail on the head. When I was a senior at
playing football. I really enjoyed it, and you know, I really feel bad for him too.
Oh, yeah, you mean the best year of your life? Yeah, it was pretty.
Yeah, the
fun.
Most fun ever.
The most fun. I was the captain of the football team, man. How could I not have fun?
Oh man.
But I went to Robinson. What about that?
Okay, that's the Robinson Rams.
I know
first
that
and
one.
Foremost, that's child's
okay. What
play.
About our rival? What about our rival? We played Oakton.
Yeah, the Oakton Cougars out of Vienna. You're in the Concord.
You're good.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Your other rivals, the Lake Braddock Bruins, by the way. They're purple and gold. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'll even give you, if I can,
nugget.
I'll work in a little nugget about your school
That's
that
right.
maybe you don't know. Robinson Rams, a pitcher that went to Robinson, Javier Lopez.
Who I faced many times.
Would go on to pitch in the big leagues and win World Series titles for the San Francisco Giants.
Went to UVA.
Robinson Ram. Ah, thank you. Let's go to Nick, who's in Centerville. Nick, what's up?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey,
how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing
good.
Great.
All right, so I got one for you, and you might get the original one, but they've changed it recently.
Ooh.
Fairfax.
The Fairfax Rebels.
Okay, well, what's their mascot? Not their name. What's their mascot?
Is their mascot different than their name?
Well, yeah. Well, what would a rebel be?
A rebellious creature? I don't know. I don't know what a rebel is.
Well, before, it was a rebel soldier.
Oh.
And then, you know, the 2000s happened and everything else, you know, me too.
So what
now
are they
now? They're the Lions, which are the rebel pride.
Ooh, interesting. I wasn't up on the Lion. See, that's how Washington football team could do that as well, by the way.
It could just be the Lions.
They could just kind of shift and, like, put a potato on the side of the helmet.
You see what it would do.
And then it could be a redskin potato. They could have done that. They chose not to, but it was an option that they had. That way you don't have to change the name. I don't really have anything for you on the Fairfax Rebels. I only called one of their games. Very nice field turf, if I remember correctly. I don't remember where that school is, really, but I remember it was very nice field turf.
Pretty close to where the old station was. It's on the way on Route 50 there, I think.
Let's go to Ahmed, who is in Ashburn on G&D. What's up, Ahmed?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing well. So my high school, I went to South Lakes.
Oh, you're the South Lakes Seahawks.
Correct.
Yeah, and here's a nugget for you, by the way.
All right.
Graham Gano, during the lockout, used to jump the fence at South Lakes High School to go kick on your field goal. Goalposts when he played for the Washington football team.
Obviously, everyone knows Grant Hill, but you sleep on how big a deal Joey Beard was back in the day. It was going to be the next great thing, and then kind of wasn't. But he went to South Lakes and dunked on everybody.
I don't know who Joey Beard is.
You sleep.
Let's go to Matt in Ashburn. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Hey, man.
Thank you.
Broad Run High School.
Well, you're the Spartans, of course. Clearly. Made a championship run. Let me think of the name of the high school quarterback in like 2006. I called your state championship game. By the way, there was a silly wide receiver who played there who went to Syracuse. Fleming. Adrian Fleming. That name's coming to mind. I don't know if that's right.
You look at me for confirmation. I got nothing. I'm just happy to be here.
Redheaded quarterback.
Okay.
He ended up actually having a cup of coffee with the Washington football team on their practice.
Come on. Are you serious?
Dead serious. Google Broad Run quarterback Washington and use the old name, not football team, and you tell me what comes up. For some reason, the name, like Colin Gillespie, who I think played baseball, is popping up in my head. But tell me what you got here. This is your, what do you call me, Grant? What's the nickname when I Rain Man it and I just pull something out of nowhere?
Slumdog Poulsenaire.
Yeah, Slumdog.
Connor Jessup?
Connor Jessup.
Does that smell
That's
right?
That's the name.
There we go.
That was the guy.
Nathan
Michael
R. Jessup.
Michael in Richmond. What's up? How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, man.
Good.
So I went to Annandale High School.
Oh, guy.
That's too easy.
Annandale
I know that
Adams
one.
Adams guy. My wife went to Annandale. My brother-in-law's the head baseball coach there. And is an assistant football coach there. I sponsor the Adams third inning and pitching changes, for God's sake.
I got benched in a Legion game playing at Annandale because I threw a temper tantrum after grounding out on a guy that stinks. That's just a little information there.
You wouldn't you would not ground out there anymore, I don't think. They're going to have a good season, I think. I'm excited for the Adams this
Hope
year.
Hope so.
Let's go to James in Woodbridge. James, how are you?
Woodbridge, class of 83. What do you got?
You're the Vikings, for God's sake, the Woodbridge Vikings.
Okay, who was our arch rival, the Garfield?
I believe Garfield is the Indians. I don't know if they still would be.
You got it, brother. You got it. You are the man.
Unbelievable.
My man. Attaboy.
You savant.
Slumdog Jeeps in there.
I mean, you don't know.
You sleep.
I mean, you don't know, like, any song ever, but you could do this.
There was a running back for the Woodbridge Vikings in, like, 07 who was one of the best high school running backs I've ever seen. DeAndre, I think, was his first name. And, God, where did he go on to play college ball? Called his state championship game as well at Virginia Tech. That's why I know about the Woodbridge Vikings. They had one of the best entrances ever. They came in with, like, a big, what's, like, the swing mallet club that people have that they, like, you know, you can
I know exactly what you mean,
with.
Yeah.
They came in with that.
The Gallagher mallet?
Yeah, there was, like, a smoke machine.
Was it a mace? No, it wasn't a mace.
I don't know. That's quite a word. I don't know. It's like, you know, it's like a long, looks like a baseball bat look.
But with a mallet on top.
It's just got the huge hammer at the end of it.
Oh. Right.
And they came out with that thing.
The mega hammer.
It was really cool to watch. Let's go to John, who's in Stafford. Hello, John. How are you?
Good. North Stafford High School.
Ooh, okay. I'm thinking Indians or Wolverines. I got to think about this. John Main pitched there, by the way, who would go on to pitch for the Baltimore Orioles.
Former teammate of mine.
In the Mets. In the Mets.
West Springfield is the Spartans. I'm going to say North Stafford. Stafford is the Indians. North Stafford is the Wolverines. Is that correct? You're gone.
Lost him.
I'll never know. I'll die not knowing if I was right about
that. According to the Le Google, the mascot, Wolverines.
Attaboy!
Wolverines.
Let's go!
The Wolverines.
Now, I could do this for a while, but no one listening other than the people calling in will probably have fun
with it. I'm having fun with this, by the way.
James in Ashburn, what's up?
Loudoun County High School.
Loudoun County and Loudoun Valley trip me up. I believe Loudoun County is the Raiders, Loudoun Valley is the Vikings.
And you would be right, except for they just made Loudoun County change.
Oh,
so the dumbest name ever.
I can't keep up with the change.
The changing.
What's the change?
Yeah, they are the Captains. The Loudoun County Captains. What a ridiculous name.
He's so salty. I like the alliteration, though, James. I kind of like that. Loudoun County. They were the Raiders. And the Raiders is not a name that's like being changed right now.
We don't like Raiders?
I guess we don't like Raiders.
Because all the rating?
Man, that's fun. I enjoyed that.
So you got that one. My wife can identify every make and model of a car in the history of mankind. Which totally
that's
unexpected.
Incredible.
She's like, that's a you know, a Toyota Camry. That's a Mazda Miata. That, well, I guess that one's easy. But like, that's a Nissan Maxima. Like, I'm marvel at that.
I love that. She should use that at parties. I'm going to use this at parties. Yeah. Larry is in Fredericksburg. Now, I'm from King George County, Larry. So if you think you're going to trip me up in Fredericksburg,
can't do it.
You got something coming to you. You better bring your
A. Well, no, I never going to trip you up because I told the guy that I talked to, you're the only one that would be able to get this.
All right, what do you
Here
got?
Here we go.
I went to Colonial Beach.
The Colonial Beach Drifters. Let's go.
Yep.
One of my rivals, Larry. You know
rivals.
This about me. Not one person listening would have got Drifters. You tell me I can't somehow work that into a party routine? I can't do that somehow?
I'm not gonna doubt you on that
All
one.
All right, let's just squeeze in one more here. I'm on a heater. Willie in Berryville. This is the hole in my game. Berryville's out by
Leesburg. That's out there, man.
I got no file.
66
right,
ends.
Welcome to the Shenandoah Valley. We're not far away, but people never come out here. Now, Clark County High School.
Clark, do you guys play Sharando?
We do.
The Warriors? They, by the way,
that
have
would
a
be
horse.
Sharando.
Yeah, they have a horse. This guy comes out, like, headdress and everything. I don't know if he still does. And he's on a horse.
They do.
I'm going to say I don't have it. I don't have Clark County. What do you got?
Clark County Eagles.
See, anything. Thank you for the call. Where is that? That's past Leesburg, correct?
Yeah. The highway ends, and you got to make a choice.
The only reason I know Sharando is when Ross Matheny was there, who had gone to play at the University of Virginia, left-handed quarterback, who went out to call their games. And they had, like, a dude would come out on a horse and go all around the field, and it was the coolest thing ever. They had the Braves chop thing, the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
Big, everything was done up for the whole night. But that's a hole in my game. All right, so there you go. The streak is over. Now I'm going to study up on Maryland. Maryland, it'll be your turn next week. D.C. the week after that. Or we'll just never do it again, either way. Travis Fulgham played at Broadwater, Old Dominion, and Philadelphia Eagles. Scott, you're right about that. I'm talking about, this was before that. I think his kid's name was Adrian Fleming. It was like a wide receiver right around 06 or something like that. Pretty sure he went to Syracuse. Anyway, that stuff. If I lose all that information, I'll just have more room for stuff that I need. Like that my wife gets mad at me for not knowing.
How did you not remember that? Because I remember all the mascots from Northern Virginia high schools.
The Rocket. That's right. Woodbridge running back you're referring to is the Rocket. Initially went to Rutgers. When Ray Rice was there, I believe transferred to IUP. His name was the Rocket. He's right about that.
Amazing.
Well done. For Grant and Danny, we'll do some stuff that'll relate to more people next on The Fan. The Fan about 10 minutes from now at the top of the hour. Tariq El-Bashir will join us from The Athletic. Talk about the Caps as they get ready for the playoffs. Good news, though, Danny. More fans coming back to Nats Park, and we'll be in the arena for the Caps and the Wizards in the playoffs if and when those teams have playoff home games.
So here's what we got. Right now in the short term, there's an increase to 25% capacity, which starts on Saturday for the Capitals. So Caps and Wizards at Capital One Arena will get up to 25%. Starting on May 14th, the Nationals outdoors, a larger percentage, up to 36%. That's what the waiver is going to grant them. So they'll have closer to full capacity. June 11th is the day that we all kind of have circled. That's the 100% capacity day, working towards that as case rates continue to not just necessarily fall, but stay at a very low level. Positivity rates stay at a low level. Vaccine starts to take hold. We're seeing more and more success here, especially in D.C. I think there were 15 cases, new cases as of last Friday, which is a wonderful sign, a good number. So 25% increase, increase rather to 25% for the Caps and the Wizards, 36% for the Nationals. But June 11th, 6-11, will be the day we can do 100%. So good news for fans that want to go.
I can't wait to see what the attendance numbers are like when they open things up at Nats Park, because to my knowledge, they haven't been getting 10,000 at games yet. It's early in the season, a lot of weeknight games, obviously, that generally it takes a while. You know, summer when kids are out of school is when generally people go to games. But part of me wonders if there is going to be just a trepidation in general about going back out.
She's not in the rhythm of
sitting,
it.
Not even that, just like, are people worried about going into public with mass amounts of folks? If you're vaccinated, I wouldn't think you are, but not everyone has been able to yet. Not everyone is yet.
Yeah, I mean, I am fully vaccinated. I cannot wait to go to a Nats game. I've been able to go for a while, and I still haven't yet. Just, you know, A, this time slot, B, you know, kids stuff. It's just really, really hard, as you kind of alluded to, you know, especially with all the different stuff that's going on for us with U Sports. I think summertime, I'm going to go into a bunch more games, and I'm so excited about doing it. But it sounds like June 11th is the day we've got circled, if not before.
Very cool, and for me, most important there, ideally, is Caps make a long run, and they're still
playing,
and that means a packed house for a Stanley Cup, you know, a conference final game, something like that. I just think that would be the coolest thing that we could see, and it would be the first time I feel like the world has returned.
Right, we're okay. Yeah,
I'm in traffic going downtown to get into D.C. because there's going to be
horns are honking, yeah, jerseys
in red screaming, "Let's go, Caps." And if the Wizards go on a run long enough, they could pack the house and have some energy, too. That's obviously just far less likely. But to me, that's the priority.
Yep.
The Capitals hang around long enough to benefit from that buzz, that pizzazz, that electricity that is that arena when everything's right. Speaking of which, we'll talk to Tariq about their draw and what they're going to do in the playoffs next. No Caps, no Nats tonight means you get overtime at 6:30. Craig Hoffman is in the building. Saw him a few minutes ago, so we'll take you up to the bottom of the hour and Craig right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Earlier in the show, we talked to Jason Smith about the Wiz, who play tonight at 7:30. NBC Sports Washington pre- and post-host. If you missed that, great breakdown on what they'll be dealing with without Bradley Beal. go listen on the Odyssey app, rewind, grab the podcast at thefandc.com. But we wanted to take the temperature on the Capitals with Tarik El-Bashir of The Athletic because they've got way more injury issues than even the Wiz, who are playing without Brad Beal tonight. Tarik, great to have you back on the show. How are you, pal?
Good afternoon. I think I'm going to start paying attention to the Wizards now, aren't I?
You should.
They're good.
Dude, they're fun.
They're so fun.
Yeah.
13 okay. wins, 16 games, and the three losses are second night of a back-to-back with 1 point, 1 point, 3 points in overtime.
Russ is going to set the triple-double record like any second. I mean, it's unbelievable how much fun it is.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I love Russ. I'm in. Okay.
All right, so let's talk Caps for a second. So their final game is tomorrow. First, can you update us? Give us the injury report without
is anyone healthy?
Out of breath. And, like, who actually is at risk of not playing in the first game of the playoffs, whenever that is?
It's funny, the other day, or not so funny if you're a Caps fan, after Saturday's game, basically Peter Laviolette said everyone is a lower body injury. The injury situation improved somewhat today at practice. Alex Ovechkin was back on the ice. To my eyes, looked pretty good. He's been out for seven of the last eight games. And remember, this is a guy who doesn't miss time. So you're always concerned when he's missing games, even if it's at the end of the year where, you know, some teams are prone to start resting some star players who need some time off. He had only missed, prior to this stretch, six consecutive games due to injury in 16 years. So he definitely wasn't right. Looked good to me. Nicklas Backstrom was back on the ice. Lower body injury as well. I think that missing Saturday's game, this is just my opinion, based on how good he looked today, that was probably more of a load management type deal. Ditto for John Carlson. John Carlson missed Saturday's game. Also was back in practice today, was smiling, joking, going 100%. He looked good. I had a little bit of concern for Tom Wilson. Remember, he went knee on knee in Saturday's game. He was also back out there, looked fine. So overall, mostly good news. The big one was TJ Oshie, not on the ice. Now, he is labeled, according to Laviolette, as day-to-day. A lot of guys get labeled day-to-day. The Capitals, over the years, have generally been pretty good. If a guy is going to be out long-term, they'll usually list him as week-to-week or even just tell you what the injury is and say he's going to be out long-term. So the fact that he was day-to-day, even though he wasn't on the ice, this bears watching, but maybe it isn't as bad as we think. And then Evgeny Kuznetsov and Ilya Samsonov spent, 10th straight day on the COVID protocols list. You know, we're a day away from the regular season finale. We're probably, you know, 5-6 days away from the game one opener. These guys haven't been on the ice in more than a week. You almost are at the point where, can you count on them? I mean, if they come back, I think they're back in the lineup, but not everyone comes off that protocols list, whether it's actually having COVID, which those two guys have already had COVID, or whether it's just being exposed to someone who was positive. Not everyone can just jump right back in and be good. So I would say a situation that looked really questionable and messy on yesterday was looking slightly better today and bears watching over the next couple of days.
Can I go back to Kuzi and Sammy for a second? You mentioned
sure.
it. They've already had COVID.
Right.
I'm not a doctor, but so what are we dealing with here? Do they potentially have it again? Were they just around someone? Like, if you've had it already, first of all, it's irresponsible that they're back in this protocol again and they put themselves in that position potentially. But, like, what is going on with them?
So, according to the CBA, which was kind of updated, you know, to include COVID protocols at the start of the restart last year, teams aren't allowed and are really, really reticent to say a whole lot about what is happening with a player who is on the list. A, because it's a health thing, not necessarily an injury thing. And some players want, you know, teams to respect their privacy. I kind of get that. Okay. You're right. They both had and recovered from COVID. I'm not a doctor either. In rare instances that I've read about, guys have gotten it twice. The Capitals will not confirm whether they have it again. You can, however, be in a situation where you were exposed to someone who had COVID and you end up back on that list. And remember, guys, before They were placed on the COVID list last Tuesday. On Monday, they were scratched for breaking team rules. Now, the rule they broke, according to the team, was they showed up late for a team function. That leaves a lot of wiggle room. There's a lot of room for interpretation. You know, what were they late for? What caused them to be late? You know, Laviolette didn't say a whole lot, but he did indicate that, hey, some stuff happened, and we can't let this slip. And that's why they're being scratched. That was Monday's game against the Rangers. That was the one that started the whole Tom Wilson craziness. They didn't play in that game. They ended up on the COVID list the next day, and we have not seen them since. I mean, like, I haven't even seen them around the rink. Look, I'm not behind the scenes. I'm not in the locker room and stuff because of the way things are right now. But, like, they haven't even poked their heads out, which, you know, to me, strikes me as a bit odd. And like I said, we're kind of at crunch time here. You know, regular season finale's tomorrow. Playoff preparations begin on they're going to take Wednesday off. We'll begin on Thursday. If those guys aren't on the ice Thursday, you got to start wondering if they're going to be available at all for game one. And if they're not around for game one, you know, what's their future for the rest of this postseason? You know, if it's a long postseason, maybe they get back in. But you're right also, Grant, when you say, you know, it's a little irresponsible. I mean, you never want to blame anyone for getting sick in the middle of a global pandemic. But there are a lot of people who have avoided getting on the list once, much less ending up on it twice.
And didn't get in trouble with the team for breaking the rules right beforehand.
Also, not only – also go back to January. Remember, the team was fined 100,000 large ones for them breaking the rules. So this is the second time there's been a brush in with the long arm of Laviolette, and it's going to be interesting to see how they're dealt with if and when they are able to return. But I mean, this is just some speculation here, guys. Like I said, we're just in that time frame where you got to kind of start figuring out who's on your side and who's not, who's going to help, who isn't. And I feel like they're kind of getting to that point.
Tariq El-Bashir of The Athletic with us. I'm not done on the Kuznetsov thing here. I played years ago for Pete Shirk's dad, Joe Shirk, the head coach. And when he would say my name, he would pause and sigh afterwards. I now know what he was feeling. He couldn't stand me. I get that feeling now. When I think of Kuznetsov, my blood boils. Please do what you're supposed to do. Please be excellent. What is the matter? He makes so much money, Tariq. He was so great during that Stanley Cup run. And now it's one thing after another thing after another thing. Will this dude get right? Is he part of the future here? I remember everybody was terrified, clutching their pearls, that he might go to the KHL. I'll pack his bags. I'm exhausted dealing with this dude because he's so great. If he was a fourth-line jobber, I wouldn't care at all. I care so much because he's excellent, and they need him desperately. Will there be buy-in? What's the future? You could tell I'm upset. It's that deep sigh.
Danny, you're exactly right. And look, we've all been around sports, whether playing at a low level, you know, watching it. What is the most frustrating thing in the world? Do you get mad at the fourth liner for making a mistake or for not playing to his potential? No, it's the fourth liner. That's why he's on the fourth line. The guy who makes you pull your hair out is the guy who has all the ability in the world but won't apply himself on a nightly basis, especially when they're making a king's ransom to play a child's game. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't jibe. It doesn't calculate. It frustrates everyone. I mean, the Capitals are frustrated. I mean, I can tell you that without hesitation. They are frustrated. What does the future hold? That's a good question. We'll see. But I'll tell you this. When Peter Laviolette was hired last year, I wrote in one of the first stories for The Athletic after his hiring and said, I can already see two players in particular who are probably going to butt heads with this no-nonsense coach, Jacob Vrana and Evgeny Kuznetsov. One has already lost his battle. One has already lost his battle and is now, you know, playing in Detroit. Playing quite well, but he's in Detroit. No longer on a team that, you know, is going to be in the postseason right now looking to challenge for a Stanley Cup. You got to start wondering when and if, you know, Kuznetsov ends up in that situation. I mean, maybe it doesn't get to that point, but it doesn't feel great right now. There were reports, one from my colleague, Pierre LeBrun at The Athletic, who suggested maybe 5 or 6 days ago that the Capitals will explore trading number 92 this summer. I mean, that's a lot to that's a big deal. I mean, this is a player, you know, teams that challenge for championships usually go 1, 2, 3 deep down the middle. If you're getting rid of one of those top two centers, you're making a statement. You're saying we can't live with this player anymore, and we're going to have to, you know, go out and find a replacement. So we are arriving at that point. We are arriving at that point. I don't know when we're going to get there, but it feels like things are headed in that direction.
I'm just a guy who eats popcorn and watches the games. I was at that point a while ago. 4 years left on his deal at $7.8 million per, and he has all the talent in the world, so you would think you could find a suitor. I'd like to think you could get a ton back, but we'll have to have you back on another time to talk about, you know, what a package for Kuznetsov might look like to make sure that it's worthwhile. But it would certainly clear a bunch of cap and would give them some flexibility they haven't had financially in a while. Tarek, before we let you go, huge night tonight in this. The Islanders play the Bruins. If the Bruins win, then we know who the Caps are playing, and their final regular season game doesn't matter at all. They're playing Boston. If the Islanders win, then that final regular season game does matter because the Bruins could still leapfrog the Isles, and the Caps kind of pick with their result who they play. Who should they want to play? Who's the better matchup for them? Who's the scarier matchup for them, Islanders-Bruins?
Guys, when I'm asked this question, I have been asked this question a lot over 20 years, I always cheer for myself in this situation. First, before deciding
yourself,
what's
like
best for
Tarek El-Bashir?
You're pro Tarek.
I'm pro Tarek. Pro Tarek, Boston's going to be the way more fun series to cover. There's going to be more controversy. There's going to be Trent Frederick versus Tom Wilson. There's going to be Brad Marchand versus Tom Wilson and the rest of the team. There's going to be Zdeno Chara facing the team that told him he wasn't good enough. There's a lot of good talkers. The hockey's going to be probably relatively high scoring for the postseason. That's going to be a fun series. It's also going to be a coin flip hockey series. If you're the Caps, you probably don't want to see Boston because that series is going to go either way. The Islanders, now they're a tough matchup. They are a tough matchup. They are coached by, of course, Barry Trotz, who knows his team as well as anyone. They basically just pack four dudes around the net and just dare you to try to score. It's going to be grinded out, hard to watch, heavy hockey. It's going to be really low scoring. The teams are going to be very cautious about what they say in the media. That's just kind of how those coaches are wired and what they project on the room. If you're the Capitals, though, you had some pretty good success against the Islanders. Now, you had a couple of wild games that didn't go your way, too, but you also, for the most part, had some success against them. So from a Tarek standpoint, I want to see Boston. If you're the Capitals and you're a Capitals fan, you probably want to see the Islanders. I think that might be the easier route. And guys, honestly, I flip-flopped a little bit on this in the last couple of weeks. If you had asked me 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have said I still think the Islanders are going to be the toughest out. But I'm starting to kind of, you know, looking at the way the teams have played over the past couple of weeks, I've started to kind of come around to, okay, if it's going to be Boston or the Islanders, Caps will probably have an easier route through New York.
Well, in either city, you can get your Quesarito, you can get your Crunchwrap Supreme, and your Cheesy Gordita Crunch. Tarek, thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
We'll see you, pal.
We're also in the business of best for Tarek. We care about
pro Tarek on the show.
Tarek El-Bashir, check his workout in the Athletic. Always good on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. A note, Wizards starting lineup just came out. Garrison Matthews will replace Bradley Beal in the starting lineup tonight.
I love that, actually. Just spread the floor, man. Spread the floor.
He can shoot the three.
That's what I care about.
That's what they're trying to do. I'll tell you, we've said who needs to step up. He could be a guy that if he could hit three threes tonight and have, you know, 13 points or something like that, be a godsend, be massive. Because you're not going to have one person score the 35 that Beal would. But if you could have him score 11 to 12 and you could have have Bertans go for 18. You know, you can fill it up a little bit with a bunch of other guys and make up for not having Beal. We were talking earlier about more people being able to go to Nats, Caps, Wizards games. Justin in Fairfax wants to hop in on the fact that D.C. is going to be letting more fans go out to the games. What's up, Justin? How are you?
Yeah, when that subject came up, Danny seemed a little perplexed about why they couldn't reach the 10,000 plateau at the Nationals games. But you understand, starting with, they sell the tickets in pods. So you've got to buy tickets in twos or fours. And then when you get there, you got to figure out what entrance you go in. They won't let you go in any entrance. So you got to figure out your parking relative to your entrance, which means you have to know what the seat relationship is to the entrance in the stadium. Then once you get in there, it's the Nazi squad telling you about your mask when you're sitting 10 or 20 feet away from other people outside.
Well, how many times have you gone so far, Justin? How many times have you been there?
Two.
Okay, I've been there a couple times. It's been very simple for me. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I've been to two games, obviously, when I got to
Colton. You're a celebrity, Grant.
No, it has nothing to do with it. I'm saying I've been a fan who just bought tickets and went and sat in the stands and using the same things you are, figuring out, okay, I go in this entrance, going and sitting in my seats. I've been to two games, to your point, broadcasting, but I've been to the same number of games, maybe three now, as a fan, and it wasn't particularly difficult. I did get yelled at one point while eating to put my mask on.
And that was annoying. Right, exactly.
And I put my mask on.
So who wants to go to a game? And they won't even let you stand up there. All of the standing platforms that they have, they won't let you stand up there and watch or eat. Everybody, either you're in your seat or you have to be actively engaged in going to get the food, which they don't really want you to do. They want you to sit in your seat and text somebody to get your food. The whole thing.
I've gone to get my food every time.
This is outside.
Yeah, it seems like you're very upset. I'm sorry to hear that. Again, I've been there multiple times as a fan. I've gone and gotten my food. I didn't have much of an issue. I figured out where I was walking in. I think the question is, do you want to be angry about it or not? Was I annoyed about a couple of the inconveniences that have come from going to a game during COVID times? I was. It wasn't the exact same as before. Was it frustrating to me when a guy yelled at me a couple times over the course of nine innings? Mask up, because my mask was below my nose or whatever after I didn't notice I had just taken a sip of my drink. And I looked around and I thought, there's no one around me. Okay.
We'll be okay.
Am I going to make a scene or am I just going to put my mask up and watch the baseball game I came for? I just decided that was going to be okay. And hopefully a few months from now, it's a little bit less strict than it was then. And we just heard today that in the middle of June, it might be full capacity potentially.
And so his point, though, is actually a good one I hadn't thought of, is the pod question, right? So if somebody buys a pair of tickets,
very fair,
it necessarily means there can't – like, let's just say you and me decide to go. We're going to go together. It's a pair of two. That means we can't have two people that we don't know next to us, right? Because that means that four is taken up now by two. You see what I mean? Like two strangers can't buy the tickets right next to us, but your pod of four, if you buy a pod of four,
can all go. Yeah.
So right away, that pod has now been taken up by one guy, two guy, whatever it is.
Oh, so in terms of the attendance.
Yeah, in terms of the attendance.
So his point is getting to 10,000 is going to be tough if you either need to buy the four. It's like sitting at tables.
Yes.
If you're sitting at a table that seats six, a six top in a restaurant, and they sit three people there, then inevitably you're three below capacity now for the overall restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being a jerk to you, sir. I understand some of the frustration on a couple of the things, not all the things that you suggested were major problems. I'm not saying it's easy. Like, I was talking to my brother about this, and I was saying, man, I just can't wait till it's normal again. But the point we kind of came to was, do you want to be able to go to the game or not? Like, last year we didn't get to go to games.
Right.
That was really bad. Having to go to games the way that we're doing it now, I'll take this over not getting to go to games.
And so, there's a trade-off, right? There's a cost benefit of it. If you'd like to not be hassled, I understand that. That's totally fine. But understanding, hey, this is pretty unique. Everyone's just trying to follow the rules and not have their license revoked. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If I don't know who's checking, but let's say somebody does, and then here's this violation, that violation. Now you can't have 36% capacity next week.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have full capacity. So I'm sorry, it's not as much fun for you, but it is a cost benefit, I would say.
Totally.
And if you decide you're going to go, then you're going to probably be prepared to deal with some adversity.
And his point is that might be why there aren't as many people there as we'd like. Maybe. I mean, if someone goes to the game and leaves as angry as he is about their experience, they might not go back. Now, it sounded like he did. He said he's gone
a couple times, yeah.
I've gone multiple times. I don't have the same feeling about going to the game at all. I basically was almost in tears the first time I saw the field. I was so excited. And I had a completely pleasant, unbelievably wonderful experience sitting. And I've never been near anyone. That's the other thing. And maybe this is part of his frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You really aren't near anybody.
Yeah.
You're outside. It's the people you came with or a person or whatever. And you could stand up with a bat and just slowly go around in like a circle. You won't touch another person. The two times I've been to games now where I've been sitting.
And
it's almost like staggered row by row. I'm on the far left. other people on the far right. That, you know, two rows down, it's far left, like or middle. It's kind of done really well.
Right.
So maybe his annoyance is, I'm by myself, I'm outside, leave me alone. I think you just got to make up your mind that this is what it takes.
Yeah, I shred my vocal cords every weekend coaching through a mask. I'm vaccinated and it's outside. I'm not breathing in anyone's face, but whatever the rules are, even if I think they're not the best rules, I will follow them so that these 7-year-olds can play U sports. See what I mean? Like, I'll complain privately to a couple assistant coaches and be like, isn't this kind of dumb that we got to do this? But who cares, right? It's the cost. It's the cost right now. This is very new. It's very unusual. We're all doing the best we can.
25% capacity, it sounds like, being upped initially for the playoffs. Is that right? And then 33%
yes.
is the kind of the next step?
36% for the Nats outside, 25% for the indoor guys.
And are they staying at 25 until they jump to 100?
That's what I'm seeing so far. I don't know if there's going to be
an
escalator in there.
That's a month from now. That's June 11th.
Yeah. So there's no word yet if there's an escalator in there.
So that would mean those, you know, the Wiz would have to really pull off an upset.
Yeah, you got
to
beat Philadelphia and maybe win that conference final too.
But for the Caps, if they handle their business and say they play Boston, you know, by the end of the next series, and you know, potentially if it goes deep, they could have a full house for, you know, second round playoffs.
That's
series.
Right, yeah.
Or if they got to an ECF, you know, conference final, they could play in front of 19,000, which would be pretty sweet. Let's figure out what we learned today on Grant and Danny, one of the ways we like to wind the show down each and every day. What we learned, driven by your local Honda dealer, race in for a great deal on the Honda of your dreams during the Honda Dream Garage Spring event. Take advantage of the savings and see your local Honda dealer today.
I learned that while the rest of us were dealing with true adversity, while the rest of us were dealing with unemployment, sickness, health issues, loss of job, economy slowing down to a halt, Gwyneth Paltrow dealt with true adversity. She broke down to the point that she ate bread during the pandemic and believed that was relatable content.
I just can't believe she ate the bread.
She ate the bread, man.
Do we know what kind of bread it was?
I don't, actually. I don't have a specific on that. Mm.
I learned that Cornelius Lucas, left tackle, Washington football team, is not a very big fan of Ian Rappaport.
How about that?
Yeah. Ian Rappaport today tweeted that Washington might be able to solve a major issue if they're able to sign Charles Leno to be their left tackle. Rap Sheet basically said, if they get this done and they sign a left tackle, then it's going to be awesome because, boy, howdy do they need one. To which Cornelius Lucas responded and with a clown emoji, said that these clowns basically need to do their research, and I'm paraphrasing. I messaged him about it, and I said, hey, man, what a comment there. I was like, if you want to come on the show, you can talk about it. Knowing that he was talking about the media.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I'm talking about the media, not the team. I like what the team's doing. I said, I know. I'm with you.
We're on the same
That's
side here.
That's hilarious that you're so upset that they're bringing, you know, that a media guy says it's a hole. And I didn't hear back from him. But he was not happy with the report
not
that
pleased.
They need a left tackle.
Not pleased.
Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to 106.7 The Fan. Thanks to Darius. Thanks to Ryan. For Danny, I'm Grant. Saying so long. Craig Hoffman is next with Overtime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.